question. Vito, what are some of your accomplishments, and can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, my name is Vito Arujo. I wrestle for Cornell. Two years ago, I All-Americans, ended up taking fourth in the Nationals. The following summer, I took second at the Junior World Championships in Tbilisi. I've also, on the senior level, took third at the U.S. Open. And now I'm just waiting to wrestle at the World Team Trials, which I've qualified for.
Nice.
You wrestle at Cornell, and you have a lot of good guys in the room, like Yanni, Dake, and others. What is it like to have such good partners?
It's definitely really helpful that there's so much that you can learn from just being in your room, right? I don't have to outsource for those type of things, right? I don't have to travel a whole lot because I can just go to my wrestling room, ask Kyle Dake a question, and then ask Mike Gray a question, and then I can even ask Yanni a question. And all they can all give me either the same answer or a different answer. It's really helpful to have so many people with so much knowledge over this one thing.
Yeah. So you and Yanni have a super good relationship. What is it like to have a super good relationship with, like, a super good wrestler and, like, someone who a lot of people know in the wrestling world?
It's definitely pretty cool. That, you know, Yanni has gotten so much popularity in the wrestling community. And then, you know, people like Kyle also are just insanely, like, worldwide popular. It's pretty cool. You know, me and Yanni have known each other for a long time. We actually wrestled multiple times in high school and stuff. And after that, we were just like, hey, we're both, like, the best people in this state. Why don't we just train with each other? Mm-hmm. So we started training with each other, and then we both got way better. So
yeah.
A mutual, we both had something to gain from it, which was fun. And that, you know, gave way to, we both went to the same college, and now we're just, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool that you guys are now teammates after all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with you wrestling, freestyle, you have high scoring matches. What was your most high scoring match in freestyle?
Highest scoring match?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure, specifically one match that was high scoring. I know when I wrestled Dayton Fix, it was specifically high scoring just cause, I put up a lot of points, and then he put up a whole lot of points. I'm not sure if that was necessarily good because I ended up losing by a lot. But, you know, and you could score. I've seen matches go, like, 30 points, you know, 30-something. It's cool. You know, a lot of action is happening, which is preferable to the fans and the people watching.
Yeah. So, also you and Yanni wrestled a lot when you guys were younger. Who won those matches? And how cool is it that you guys are teammates now?
Yanni won a lot of those matches. Back when we were little, he was still, you know, we were much closer in skill level. So we wrestled in places like Super 32, where the score was like 10-8. Right, and then we wrestled in the state finals, in New York State finals, when we were both eighth graders. Score was he won in triple overtime in rideout. Okay, and then we wrestled other places, like we wrestled an exhibition match at Cornell one time during a Team USA and a Team Russia duel. We wrestled in Journeyman. We wrestled in the World Team Trials. Best 2 out of 3. So we had a fair bit of matches. And I've only won one, I believe.
Nice.
So he's pretty good at wrestling.
Yeah.
What is your mindset going into big matches?
You know, I think I just focus in, just try to stay to to wrestle my match, you know. I want to get to my moves, do what I'm good at, basically. You know, try to control the pace. Beforehand, I'm just kind of like about to wrestle, you know. I do this for basically a living. So I'm pretty just focused on wrestling at this point.
Okay. What do you do to warm up?
So I have like a nice little warm-up cycle I'll do, right? I'll do like front rolls, back rolls, shots. I'll stretch for a bit, and then I'll bounce. I'm not a huge music guy. I know a lot of people just jam out to music, but I don't really do that. I like to listen to the wrestling, to be honest. And then, yeah, I'll just be there getting ready, go through the match in my head a bit, right? What do I want to get to? Maybe I have some information on the guy I'm wrestling, right? I know this guy wants to get to this inside tie and shoot sweep single or something, right? So I'll go over that in my head a bit. And yeah, that's what I do.
So in your Instagram bio, it says, never forget where you came from, and I'm pretty sure it's Russian. Yeah. What does this quote refer to?
So when I was younger, it's something my father would always say to me, right? Before big matches or something, he'd be like, remember where you came from, right? And it's in Russian because that's like where my family originates from, right? My dad's from Azerbaijan and my mom's from Belarus. So back then it was all the Soviet Union, right? And they all spoke Russian, right? So my parents speak two different languages, but they also just jointly speak Russian, right? So I speak Russian as well.
Okay.
And that's why it's in Russian. Okay. The phrase mostly comes from, right? You could take it as like, remember that I come from this long line of good wrestlers, right? I know where I come from, but also when I look back, right? Remember where you come from, right? I wrestle. So all that training that I put in, I have to remember that I've done the work, that I'm ready to do something, okay? That whatever challenges in front of me that I can overcome, because I know that everything behind me has led me to the point to give me the tools that I can do whatever it is I have to. So that's the significance about that quote.
Mm-hmm.
How often have you gone to Russia?
I've been multiple times. I was actually born over in Belarus. So I was born there. We moved over here when I was about like 2. And I've been back multiple times, probably 6 times, probably, mostly for wrestling. I've been over a couple times just to visit family. But I've been to numerous places like Ossetia, Vladikavkaz. I actually wrestled in the Uregan this year. So that was over in Krasnoyarsk.
Okay. Was that the last time you went?
Yeah, that would be the last time I went. Okay. Back in like January, February, like this year.
Yeah. Did you place at the Uregan?
No, I did not have a good outcome there. I wrestled this one guy. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but I put up probably 3 or 4 takedowns on him, and he got one good takedown and then a leg lace, and then that was my bottom really is flawed a bit comparative to my neutral game. So even with a lot of takedowns, he just got one good leg lace and put up like 8 points, and I ended up losing. And the way freestyle tournaments work, right, with repertoire, because I lost to him, he lost the next round, and then I was just 1-0. So not a great showing at the Uregan, but it was definitely fun, great learning experience. You know, I learned some things, right? Like I had to focus a lot on my bottom, because no matter how good I was on my feet, if I had terrible bottom defense, right, I couldn't beat these good guys. So that's like, after that, I put a lot of effort towards bottom. And yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, we actually might do a podcast on this. But my topic was, which tournament is harder, Worlds or Euregan? And I did a little bit of research, and I actually think the Euregan is a tougher tournament than Worlds.
Yeah, sorry. You definitely have a solid argument either way.
Yeah.
The thing with Worlds is you have the best from each country, and they represent and they fight for who's the best country, right? But Russia is arguably the best country. So now you have the top 10 guys from Russia just squaring it up. And honestly, the guy who takes third there could probably place high at the Worlds too.
Yeah.
The next guy in the Russian lineup can still probably win Worlds. So.
Oh, yeah.
You put just a hand bunch of guys from Russia into one tournament and the surrounding countries. And it makes for just a tough, tough tournament.
Yeah. Have you ever been to like a youth Russian tournament?
No. Okay. I've wrestled in the Euregan. I wrestled in this one other tournament in Ossetia. It was called the Gusov Memorial Tournament. Uh-huh. Me and Yanni actually wrestled there together when we were in high school.
Nice.
But it was like a quote unquote junior level tournament.
Okay.
Kind of senior level, kind of. So we wrestled in it even though we were in high school, but we did not place.
Yeah.
They were good.
So do you have a favorite Russian food? And can you kind of like explain it to us if you have one?
Yeah, there's plenty of Russian food that's pretty good. Most of it is cooked by like my grandma or my mom, and a lot of it is just adaptations from other countries. Like I know they have like my grandma will cook like crepes, right? But like Russian crepes, so they're called blinchiki.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're really good. They're basically just crepes, but they're like my grandma cooks them like for Russia and. She makes borscht, right? So it's like soup, but it very different taste. And, you know, it's good. You know, it's just very far from anything else you're probably going to eat in the U.S.
Yeah.
There's other things, but I'm like, I like pizza.
Yeah. So.
What are some of your goals for this upcoming season?
I want to win nationals.
Mm-hmm.
I want to beat Spencer Lee. That's about it.
Yeah.
I think that that's everyone's goal at 25. You know, I'm sure Pat Glory is like, you know, I want to beat Spencer Lee too.
Yeah.
And, everyone else is just like, if I can beat Spencer Lee, like, I have a good shot of winning. Like, I'm actually not even too sure how 25 is going to look next year with everyone coming back and maybe dropping down, right? I know I've heard some things like Dayton Fix might go 25, Soriano might go 25. All these people might be coming back and going down. So if they come down, that's going to be great, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be tough competition, though.
Yeah. I like that, though, you know?
Yeah.
You can beat a bunch of good guys at one tournament. I mean, that looks pretty good on you, right?
Yeah.
To wrestle all this high level competition, you know, if I go to NCAA, I'm not saying that it would be easy, right? Because NCAAs is just grueling in itself. But if it's just one guy, so like way better than everyone else, it's just kind of like everyone versus him.
Yeah. Where,
like I like it like how it was at like 33, like last year before, where it's just everyone is really good.
Like a madhouse. Kind of.
Who's going to win?
Yeah. No one's still to this day, no one knows who would win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cornell's ranked number 2 by Flo coming into the season. Are your guys' goal this year to win a national championship?
Yeah. You know, I think for for most teams, it usually is, right? They want to do as best as they can, but I think this year we have the legitimate means to do it, you know? We have me at 25, we have Yanni, we have kids like Max Dean and Ben Darmstadt and all these other people filling in, right? And I think we have a solid shot of actually contending to win, you know? Mm-hmm. If you look at the numbers, it's not even that far-fetched, right? We have a solid chance of winning, and I think if everyone just does their part, wins their matches, we could do it, and that'd be, you know, really cool.
Awesome.
The Ivy League school that beat all the other ones.
So I have another question. Yanni's younger brother Greg isn't he coming to Cornell this year?
Yeah, but he'll probably end up gray shirting.
Oh, is that like a red shirt?
Basically. So he will be he'll be wrestling, he'll be living in Ithaca, mm-hmm. and not training with the team, right? So we have basically a gray shirt team, okay? And he'll be wrestling for them for the year. And then the next year, he'll start Cornell, right? And then he'll be a freshman at Cornell, and then he can wrestle. There's just a bunch of, small rules and, restrictions there are within the Ivy League. Right, you have your NCAA rule set, but then the Ivy League throws another set of rules on top of that, so you have to adhere to all of them. So we have this nice little system that we've worked out that helps us get people, because within the Ivy League there's no actual red shirts. Like, you're not actually allowed to take a red shirt for athletics.
Okay. And
this is kind of how we get around that. Okay, it's called, we refer to it as a gray shirt. I was allowed to take an Olympic red shirt because it's for the Olympics. Even then, it wasn't really granted to me as a red shirt. I more or less just dropped out of school, and I'm going to go back next year.
So when Greg comes on the lineup, would you go 33 and he'd go 25?
Most likely. Greg's, shorter than me. I don't see him, I don't know, because when Yanni came to Cornell, he filled out quite a bit. So, you know, maybe Greg comes and just fills out and becomes a little NATO and just thick, you know. And that kid's go 33 and I go 25. I think I'm pretty interchangeable. I can go 33, I can go 25.
Okay.
So whatever the coaches think is the better move, because honestly I just rely on their opinion. They know what they're doing, you know. I have full faith in my coach, you know.
Yeah,
they tell me what weight to go, and then I'll go that weight and I'll wrestle as best as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is it like balancing school and wrestling, especially going to a school like Cornell?
You know, it's tough, but not impossible. You know, there's plenty of kids who wrestle at a high caliber and place high at the NCAAs, and they still have insane GPAs. It's really just about effort and time management, right? There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and you got to figure out how to put it into your day and still feel good, right? To go to practice, right? Work out. You have to also add in, right? It takes effort to lose weight too, right? So you have to go to school, go to your classes while you're losing weight, and then you have to also look at your diet, right? Make sure that you're eating healthy, and then you have to go to practice, and it is definitely grueling, but it's not as bad as it's not as impossible as it seems, right? You get into a good cycle, right? A routine, and you just kind of hit that.
You have wrestled in the United States and overseas, or you've wrestled United States wrestlers and overseas wrestlers. Is there a difference between people in the U.S. and guys overseas?
Yeah, 100%. just like style wise, right? Every country basically has their own like variant of how they wrestle, right? So the Russians, right, will wrestle a lot more technical, right? And US, right, because we're so closely connected to folk style, right? We have a much more heavy emphasis on conditioning. Okay? Just because the way folk style wrestling is built, it's very conditioning based.
Yeah. Okay?
Whereas they may not focus like a whole lot on conditioning, right? And like hard wrestling. They have a much more high focus on technique. Okay. And hitting like perfect technique every time. Right. Folk style leaves a good room for error, right? You can roll around, like you can work through positions and may not hit perfect technique always, but you can still score.
Yeah.
But freestyle is really more of a you have to hit your technique cleanly every time. And if you make an error, right, your opponent is gonna counter you. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just Russian, right? You look at other places like Iran, and like China, Japan, right? All these different places have their own style of wrestling, which is really cool to see, right? You go to the World Championships and no two people are really going to wrestle the same.
So what was I going to say? Oh yeah, I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast and he was talking about like Russians. He was like, Russians train 7 days a week for like 3 hours each day, but they don't like do any live. They just like work on technique the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there. Their whole, so from, also from what I've heard from my father, right? Because my dad wrestled over there. Yeah, they wrestle a lot and they do a lot of technique based drilling. Right. But they do wrestle live. They definitely, you know, wrestle live.
Yeah.
Kind of have to. What am I going to say, though? Oh, so you have one coach in Russia, right? You have one coach from when you start to when you finish. So my dad, right, when he was 14 and started wrestling, he had one coach, right? And until he was 23 and won two world titles, he all did this under one coach. Okay. So at different age levels, right, you wrestle different practices, right? When you're little, you're like, you train a lot of technique to learn the technique, right? And as you get older and older and older, you just spar more. Okay. Like you have to use your technique and find a way through different wrestling positions, right? So your one coach will train you differently as you grow older. Yeah.
What does your dad do for you as a dad and coach?
No, he's been probably just a cornerstone to my success in wrestling. My dad. He has a vast just understanding of wrestling, right? He just knows how it works. He's been around it his entire life, right? As a coach, right, he helped me get as good as I was out of high school. And then I think I just, even today, right, he still helps me with some technical errors that he sees in my wrestling. And it's really cool also having, you know, that he's my coach, but also my father. So it's not like practice ends when practice ends. Right, we go home and it's still like I have to lead the life of a wrestler basically at home when I was in high school. And I think it really helped me understand like key principles of just like life, you know, like work hard to do the things you want to do, take responsibility for your actions, things like that, that he just really just helped me understand, you know. But I give most of my success to just like my dad.
Yeah. So if you wrestled your dad right now when he was at his peak, do you think you'd beat him?
Freud. It wouldn't be close. No. by my age, he was already a father and a world champ, so he would mop me up then. We were the same weight, yeah. My dad actually wrestled 52 kilos, I forget. But it was 115, something like that.
Okay.
It was tiny, but he was good. He was good. And like, technique, even from back then, right? Sometimes you look at like old wrestling and you're like, well, that may not work in today's age, right?
Yeah.
Some of their technique might not be dated, but just like wrestling has evolved since then. But a lot of his technique is just super basic and just works no matter what, right? Like 20 years from now, it'll still probably work. It's just setups to high crotches, double legs, and single legs, and gut wrenches and leg laces, and that's it. You know? It's very simple, and there's no fancy stuff, and it's just very principle-like, and that's it.
Did your dad wrestle for Russia?
So my dad wrestled for the USSR, right, the Soviet Union. And then when it broke up, he then wrestled for Russia.
Okay. Right?
They basically just changed their name.
Okay. So he won a world title under Russia?
Yes.
Okay.
He won a world title in... I get the years mixed up. So he wrestled at... two senior level world championships, and he wrestled in two different Olympics, and he wrestled in like junior worlds and like back, like everything below that too. He wrestled in like the European championships, in the Euregan. He did it all, you know.
Did your dad ever win the Euregan?
Yeah, I think he did win, at least one time. He was pretty good.
Yeah. So at the Junior World Championships, you got second. Can you talk a little bit about your training and your game plan going in?
Sure. Yeah. I made the team in the U.S. and then I went and trained a bit at Cornell, right? Just refining my freestyle skill, right? It helps that I had, like the people in the room, right? I have like Kyle Dake and Yanni and Mike and like, I don't know at that point necessarily I had Nashawn, but Nashawn was also here. So we had a nice little freestyle group, you know? Trained freestyle, went to the Olympic Training Center for the little 2-week camp leading up to it. And then we went over to, Tbilisi. No, not Tbilisi. Tbilisi's Georgia. Where was the world this year?
Oh, I think, was it in Budapest?
No.
Okay.
It's Tallinn.
That's right. Okay.
Tallinn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
so Tallinn. And yeah, it was good. My weight cut was good. I felt great wrestling. I don't think I was very well conditioned at the time, or no, I was sick actually.
Oh, really?
I came up with leading up to it, I got what's it called? I was just sick beforehand, and I was just clearing up, and then I went overseas and wrestled.
My gosh.
But I was exhausted after some of these matches, right? But I kept winning. I kept keeping it relatively close. And there were some high-level opponents there, even though it was, like, the juniors, right? It was still, like, a lot of good wrestlers. You know, I wrestled this kid from, not a Azerbaijan, from Ukraine. He was very good. And the kid I wrestled in the finals from Russia was also very highly renowned as a good wrestler, right? He actually placed in the Euregan, I think, this year. And then in the finals, you know, even though I'm the favorite to win the tournament, the Russian, I ended up losing to the Japanese kid in the finals, which was, you know, not great. And the scoring in the finals was very close. I watched his matches leading up and saw that he was just a very defensive wrestler, right? So my game plan was, you know, was just to start some offense, right? Get him moving, maybe make him make a mistake and then dart in and you know, and yeah, create some action and score from it. But I didn't realize how good he was at just neutralizing my offense, right? So he kept such a close match that in the final, I think it was 15 seconds or something, he gets into my leg, right? I go to roll him through for two, but he high-legged over, right? And he ended up scooting out of bounds, and they gave him two exposure because I went to go roll through, but he didn't expose.
Oh, okay.
So they ended up giving him two. And I don't think I handled the situation well. I think I could have, realistically, I should have challenged it, because I may have got the call overturned, right? And yeah, last couple of seconds, I just chased him around the mat for 15 seconds and he just ran in circles. So
yeah,
that was that. There was just one score of two and that was the whole match. Mm-hmm. And yeah, looking back, I definitely would have done some things differently. But you know, it was also just, sometimes you got to lose to get better, which is the hard reality. It's very hard to be one of those guys who just wins all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you only really look at those guys because it's really cool that they do that. But it's like, for the vast majority of wrestlers, like, you only get a couple of those guys every couple of years, you know? So I win some, I lose some. I took second in the world. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good, so.
Yeah. How did you wait, hold up.
You can go ahead.
Okay. How did you go to the Junior World Championships in college? Was there like an age cap in you?
Yes, but junior division, right, is under 20, I believe. Under 20. Right. So I was still on age, right? I wrestled in juniors, instead of going to wrestle in the seniors because I figured this was my last time to wrestle juniors, and I'll probably be wrestling seniors for the next 7 years. So there's no rush, you know, I was just going to wrestle. Like my age to how old I was still a junior. So I just went and wrestled juniors, hoping I could get a world title out of it, but apparently not. but yeah, and then after that, I was just like, okay, I'll just wrestle seniors now. I had some pretty good outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what do you like better, freestyle or folk style?
I think I like freestyle more, but I think I might be better at folk style. Yeah, I think I just like the fact that, you know, it's very technique based and it's like strategical almost, right? It's and folk style is just much more of a brawl. And just who wants it more. And I think I'm probably just better at that, but I like folk style. I like freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So in the US Open semifinals, you wrestled Spencer Lee. What adjustments you lost to Spencer. What adjustments are you gonna do to close that gap this year at NCAAs?
Good question. We're going to wrestle folk style this time, right? So it's very, very different mat strategy, right? Although he is still very good on top, right, in folk style. I'm vastly better at folk style bottom than freestyle bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'll be able to escape or get, I don't know, maybe a reversal or something. I'll be able to wrestle from bottom much better than I did. And on our feet, I think we're pretty evenly matched, even though he might be a little better on his feet, right? I still have the ability to score off neutral. And when we did wrestle, I was a little hesitant to shoot because, you know, I've never wrestled Spencer before and I didn't know what type of tricks he might have. But when I did release and shoot, you know, I scored. So I think I'm going to pick up the hand fight when we wrestle again on our feet, and I'll look to get more points from neutral. And definitely when he shoots, right, if I slip the corner, right, I'll be able to scramble a little bit more freely without the worry of exposing my back.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a completely different match. You know, in freestyle, he is significantly probably just better at technical, you know. But I think folk style is going to be probably closer, way closer. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get teched.
Do you think you could beat him in folk style?
I think so. I'd like to think I have the ability to. Yeah, we're just going to run it and see who wins.
What do you think made you so successful in high school where you only lost one match?
Definitely my dad was very helpful. He taught me how to wrestle, and I wrestled very well. A lot of it came down to just I wanted to win, you know. I lost to Yanni my first year, and I was just like, I'm going to keep training so I never have to lose again. And, yeah, I don't know. I just got a lot better in high school. Some things clicked, and my wrestling evolved. And, yeah, that's just kind of – that's it.
Yeah. Can you tell us, like, some of your high school accomplishments? Like, what were some of, like, the big tournaments you won?
Sure. I won Fargo. I won Super 32. I won 4 consecutive New York State titles. I was undefeated for 160-something matches. I was a 5-time county champ, set some record on Long Island. I think most consecutive wins in my county.
Nice.
Won, you know, the cadet world team trials. I went over and took 2nd at the cadet worlds in Georgia. Yeah, what else? I think that's, like, the main gist of it.
Yeah. Nice. So, last season, you took an Olympic red shirt. When did you decide to take your red shirt, and why did you decide you wanted to red shirt?
So I looked at it, right, like the – I thought that it would be very difficult to switch over from folk style to freestyle, right? I just really wanted to give it, right, all of my effort, right, training for the Olympics. Because realistically, the Olympics is kind of like end game for me. I'm only really going to get 2 or 3 tries at it. So I wanted to give it as much effort as I could. So I took off from school to do it, right? So I could literally put all of my effort in the day, right, for many days, just into getting better at freestyle and jumping to the next level, because that's what I needed to do. So me and my coach made a deal. He was like, if you place top 3 at the US Open, I'll let you take the whole year off. But if I didn't place top 3, I was going to have to come back for the second half of the season. Okay. And then I took 3rd, and then he was like, okay, you can take the rest off.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Cool.
That's how that happened.
Yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so even though it's you're technically a sophomore this year, is this your last actual year of college? Because you took 2 red shirts?
No. Both of those red shirts, so the way Ivy League works, right, I basically didn't take any classes those whole year.
Okay.
So I've only gone to school for 1 year. For the past 3 years, I've really only full-time gone to school for 1 year. So now I have 3 years now, right? I'm going to come in as a sophomore of undergrad, and then I'm going to go sophomore, junior, senior, and then I'll graduate in 3 years, and then take it from there.
Mm-hmm. So you were qualified for the Olympic trials for 2021. What are you doing right now to train and become the best that you can so that you can make the team in 2021?
You know, at this point, with the whole COVID outbreak and whatnot, especially since I am living on Long Island, which is like kind of a hotspot zone, we haven't really resumed training. We haven't resumed training to the masses, right? But me and my little brother are constantly training under my dad. You know, one of the benefits of your wrestling coach being your father and then having a little brother is that we can get a wrestling mat, put it in the backyard, and we still have wrestling practice.
Yeah.
So I haven't exactly taken any time off. I've still been working on my technique and getting better. I'm still training, just only with my little brother. I actually went down to, we did a clinic in Oklahoma at their RTC.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that somewhere.
Yeah. So I actually did get to wrestle like, Zane Richards. I got to roll around with him for a bit, which was very nice, you know, just to get back into the high level competition mode, even if it was just a week. So that was nice too. But yeah, this, you know, backyard wrestling with my little brother and my dad, but it's definitely way more structured than just a regular roll around.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all we have for you today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been super awesome talking to you, Vito.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for coming on. And I guess we'll see you later. So see ya. Bye, Vito.
See you guys. Bye.